everybody. I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. One of the resources that we provide at Treasured Ministries is our Nourish Bible Study series. Now, what's great about these Bible study resources is that not only do they incorporate commentary created just for women and our Nourish Bible Study method so that you can hear from God personally, but we also have a corresponding video series online for free that you can watch as you are walking through the study. And in today's podcast, I want to share with you the audio from one of those video sessions. If you are interested in discovering more about the Nourish Bible Study series, including downloading chapter one of each study for free, I want to invite you to go to www.nourishbiblestudyseries.com. From that link, you can download the first chapter, you can order a study, and you can also watch additional video sessions, just like the one that you're about to hear the audio of. So without further ado, let's get on with today's message. Enjoy. Well, here we are. I can't believe this is our last session together. And what an honor and privilege it's been to just prepare to bring these lessons. And I believe that out of all the Nourish Bible Study series, that preparing for this one has been the most life-changing. And I pray that for you, that God has touched your heart in some way. Well, as we've been taping these videos, as you know, you've been inside my living room, and I was just speaking with somebody this morning about our house. It's very special because my husband actually built this house, and we spent a lot of time thinking through every detail. My husband is a builder by profession, and we just wanted this cozy cottage feel and really put our heart and soul into it, and we spent a lot of time preparing. But before we could build, we actually had to remove an old house where our lot was. You see, we bought a house and a lot, and our plans were to move the house away and just build completely new. Well, my husband contracted out with a contractor that moves houses for a living. And so we had on our schedule that, you know, that he would move the house in about a month or so. And a month went by and the house wasn't moved. And another month went by and the house wasn't moved. And every time that my husband would call this guy, he would say, "I promise I'll be there next week and I'll move your house." And then he wouldn't show up. And I started to get frustrated and say, you know, I was so excited about our plans. I got frustrated, and my husband said, "My hands are tied. Because until we move out the old house, we can't start building the new house." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. If God is our dream builder, and if he's designed blueprints for his dream in our life, and we've spent time maybe perhaps making mistakes in our life and trying to build the dream on our own and just building it on this shaky foundation, and maybe it looked good from the exterior, but then maybe trial hit in our life and, you know, then the house just became all messed up. Sometimes you and I can be like that contractor that just is not taking away the old house, and it's preventing the builder from building new. And I wonder if there's anybody watching today. You know, one of my prayers for this study was that we would all get hope again inside of our heart to dream again. But I wonder if any of you are holding on so tightly to regret, that you just can't release it. And although God is up there and he's got this great blueprint and he's fashioned it just for you, that you are holding on so tightly to regret that he cannot build his dream for you. You know, when you and I live in regret, we remain chained to what we can't change. We remain chained to what we can't change. When I was looking at the Bible this week and thinking about, oh my goodness, our nurse scripture was so many, you know, passages this week. Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And he actually brought me to Hebrews chapter 11 and specifically Hebrews 11, 21 and 22, because it talks about Jacob and Joseph's life. And it's really fascinating to me that all of what Jacob went through, you know, the wrestling and the all that he went through with his two wives and the children and all, you know, all this sort of thing, that God chose to record this. Hebrews 11, 21. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. I'm like, you're kidding me? I mean, after everything that he's been through, that's the piece that was recorded. And then Hebrews 11, 22, it says, it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. Hebrews 11, 22. And as I began to pray about those verses, and I think that there's many reasons why, after all that happened in Joseph's life and all that he had to do through faith, you know, that the Lord didn't talk about Potiphar's wife or forgiving his brothers. It talked about bones, right? And then Jacob leaning on his staff. So why would God say that? Well, I think that there's a lot of things in there that you could talk about, but what I believe that God wants me to talk about today is that you and I are not created to carry regret, that we are called to walk forward, and vision is God's provision to pull you out of the past and to push you forward. You see, Joseph lived a life of regret. We're going to see that in the scriptures in a minute, but we see at the end of his life that he's leaning on that staff and he's worshiping God. And I believe, even as he looked over his past, that his regret changed to redemption. And he was living the way that God intended him to live and living the way that he wants us to live. Yes, Jacob lived a life of regrets. Listen to this. Genesis 37, 34, right after he is lied to about Joseph from Joseph's brothers. Then Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family tried to comfort him. This is right after they threw him in the pit, right? But he refused to be comforted. I will go to my grave mourning for my son, he would say. And then he would weep. And then Genesis 42, 38. But Jacob replied. And this is when, I'm just setting the scene here. This is when they come back and they've said, we need to take Benjamin with us, because that's what Joseph had instructed them to do. And so the brothers come back to Jacob and say, we need to take Benjamin with us, because Jacob would not let go of Benjamin. He had already lost one son and he didn't want to lose another. Genesis 42, 38, it says, but Jacob replied, my son will not go down with you. His brother Joseph is dead, and he is all I have left. If anything should happen to him on your journey, you would send this grieving, white-haired man to his grave. You can hear even the bitterness in his voice and just that regret that he was living with. And I can't blame him. I love my boys. And if I thought I lost one of them, I would be deeply, deeply in mourning. And mourning is a good thing. Mourning is a part of God's prescription for us to really process through feelings. But mourning should just be for a period. At one point and one time, you and I need to move on. But oftentimes, we'll live with regret. And I'm sure that Jacob had lots of regret. If I had only, right, not told Joseph to go out and find his brothers, if I had only maybe not played favorites with Joseph, if I had only just kept him tight to me under my care, none of this would have ever happened. Joseph lived in regrets. And I want to ask you in our last lesson, what regret are you still ruminating over? What regret, that thing that happened in your past that you cannot change, what are you still chained to? Because you know what regret is, and whatever it is, maybe it's a parenting decision. Ooh, I've regretted some parenting decisions. Maybe it's a part of your career. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a bad relationship you were a part of. Whatever it is, regret. Now, regret is different from mourning. Mourning is a good and healthy thing, but regret, holding on to regret, is essentially worshiping the past instead of worshiping your Redeemer, who is ready to make all things new. But the reality is, and I experienced this in my own life, right after I taught Dream Builder for the very first time, that I walked through this traumatic season and I lost things that I thought I could never lose. And when that happens to us, it makes loss a reality, and that can be very scary. And so we'll live in regret over the past, but we'll also fear the future. Because we'll think, if loss happened then it can happen in my future. And so we just begin to live in fear. And we also begin to hold on too tightly to our loved ones. We see that regret does that, that Jacob just held on too tightly to Benjamin, and how much more quickly that redemption would have happened if he just would have let go. Well, the story goes inside of the Bible that that Jacob's sons come to him and tell him Joseph is in Egypt, and we're going to need to go down there. And you can tell that he's conflicted with this, because in Genesis 46, 1 through 3, it says, "So Jacob set out for Egypt with all his possessions. And when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac." And the reason why I believe that he was conflicted is because God speaks to him, and we're going to read that scripture in a minute, but also because, you know, he had heard from Abraham, right? He had heard from Father Abraham, do not make the same mistake I did and go down to Egypt. And it wasn't just Abraham that made that mistake. It was Isaac that made that mistake. So here was God calling them to leave that land that he promised them and go down into Egypt. And oftentimes, when you and I are in a place of protection, we may be there for a season, that God can call us out and to walk a new way. But if those places of protection become those permanent walls, they can eclipse the work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do in our life. And I believe Jacob set out, because what else could he do? I mean, they were starving because of the famine. But I believe that inside he was still insecure and very worried. And so God, in his awesomeness, comes to him, just like he did in Bethel, except for this time it's in Beersheba, and he gives him just the right words. 46, verse 2. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. "Jacob, Jacob," he called. "Here I am," Jacob replied. "I am God, the God of your father," the voice said. "Don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt, and I will bring you back again. You will die in Egypt, but Joseph will be with you to close your eyes." And so there he had that assurance from God. And did you hear that? God gave him a vision. Vision is what brings us hope. It's what pulls us into the future, right? And much like my husband had that blueprint, that vision for the house that we were so excited about, even though we had that vision, the old house had to go. And the way that we do that is by making that courageous choice to follow God's voice, to follow his vision and let go. And the way that you and I can let go is not by leaning on our staff. You know, he leaned on that staff, and I love that for so many reasons. It reminds us of his hip, right? And that experience that he had wrestling with God. And it also, it just brings back his journey, right? And his past, but he's leaning on this staff, which props him up for that limp. Well, for us, it's leaning on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's receiving God's forgiveness for whatever decisions that you made that may have been mistakes. It's letting go of shame through the gift of confession. You see, the enemy wants to hold us tied to regret, because when we're tied to regret, we're chained to what we can't change. Jesus said, "I've died for that. Come and receive my forgiveness that you can forge ahead." The enemy wants you to be tied to your past in regret. God wants you to learn from your past. Take those lessons with you and use them as stepping stones to walk further down the pathway of your purpose. You know, there's so many benefits to confession. It increases our intimacy with God, right? We're completely real before him. And it begins this journey of healing, because what you hide can't heal. Bring it out into the light, whatever it is that you regret. It brings humility into your life, and it reminds you of the greatness of God. In other words, it inspires worship. This happened in my past, yet you are my Redeemer. And I don't understand this amazing unconditional love, but by faith, I receive it. And when we receive it for ourselves, it makes us so much easier to give that same grace and forgiveness out to others. So we want to process the hurt of what happened to us. You know, we want to acknowledge that the hurt happened and accept that loss. But then we want to carry that loss straight to the cross and lean on not what you do, but what on Jesus Christ has done. And then when the enemy invites you to replay your past and live in regret, you say with confidence, "I'm not taking that bait anymore." And you pause and you worship God by reminding yourself that he is bigger than what happened in your past. And oftentimes, our past is the very thing that becomes a part of your purpose. Now, once you forgive yourself, you're free to forge ahead, and vision is God's provision for you to proceed forward. And that's exactly why, in my opinion, one of the reasons that the Lord chose Hebrews 11:22 out of all the faithful moments in Joseph's life, he recorded this. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. In Genesis 50, 24 through 26, we see that scene where Joseph is talking to his brothers and he's forgiven them. And he says, "Soon I will die, but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, "When God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you." And so in that, we see those words of faith. The words from a man who saw over and over and over again that whatever adversity you face, God wins in the end, and he is always faithful. And I don't know this. The Bible doesn't say this. I want to be clear on that. But I wonder if God gave Joseph the dreamer, perhaps a dream about what would happen to the Israelites in Egypt. Because you and I know, because the Bible records it, that there were, as the generations progressed, there were different pharaohs that got in charge, and they were very fearful of the fruitful Israelites in Egypt, and they ended up enslaving them. And I wonder, did Joseph get a glimpse of that? Or fall back on words that were spoken to his father Abraham so long ago? And I wonder if he gave them those bones, because he knew from his own life that a God-given vision always stands. And it is God's prescription for you and I to walk by faith and not by sight. You know that show, Fixer Upper? I love it. Well, whenever Joanna creates a house, she always, whenever she's renovating a house, she gives them a vision of what it's going to look like. You know how they do that on TV? And one of the reasons why I believe she does it is because you know that house is going to be turned all around upside down. Usually they find something that's, whatever. The pipe is broken, the walls are down, there's mold, whatever it is. But she's created this vision and shares it with her clients, so that they can remain steadfast on the journey. Now, that's kind of a silly example, but it's a critical reminder that vision is powerful and that our vision is there so that you and I can walk by faith and not by sight. If you've lived in regret, I pray to God that somehow, someway, the Holy Spirit has lit that hope in you to dream again. And what I want you to do is to go find your bones. In other words, go find that old journal entry that you wrote 10 years ago, where you wrote down what you wanted to do for the Lord. Go find your bones. Go find the things you used to play with when you were a child and you were a dreamer again. And then I want you to create some sort of visual, whether you write it out in a statement or whether you get something tangible to remind you of that, whether it's a rock or I hope it's not bones. That's kind of freaky. So, but whatever it may be, whether you write your goals down or whatever, you keep that vision before you and don't ever, ever quit. You were never created to carry regret. You were created and redeemed to carry God's dream. daughter of the dream builder. Stand tall again, because your brave heart that lives out God's dream with a bold direction is needed and necessary inside of this world. Vision. It's God's provision to pull you out of the past and to push you forward. I want to close with this blog. It's called Completing the Circle. The sky held onto the heavy golden sun for as long as it could, slipping through the fingertips of the horizon. The golden globe of golden light retreated for the day, but not without leaving a proper parting gift. Riding with streams of orange and purple against the backdrop of wispy clouds, the sun said a glorious goodbye and welcomed the bright moon to take its turn captivating the sky. Sunrise, sunset, seasons in life, the circle of life. Tears running down her face, she sat still and quiet on the mountaintop and watched the sun set. Sunrise, sunset, seasons in life, the circle of life. The cool mountain air settled in and she pulled her sweater around her shoulders. She felt the Lord's presence so close and tears flowing down her cheeks. Leaning into her heart with an honest prayer to her soulmate. Her relationship with Jesus was authentic and vulnerable. Her deep love for him was simply an echo of his love and forgiveness towards her. Her journey through hurt, hope, and then finally healing had been beautiful. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit revealed that it was not yet a complete circle. She knew Jesus was asking her to comfort others with the same comfort he had given to her. Sunrise, sunset, seasons of life, the circle of life. Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. You are never too old to begin living God's dream for your life. And when you do, you complete this beautiful circle of God's love so that His glory can continue to be filled inside of the earth as we point others towards eternal life. Thanks again for listening in to today's audio message from the Nourish Bible Study series. I hope that you enjoyed it. And hey, if you're interested in not just doing the study for yourself, but in leading a group of women through the study, we want you to know that at Treasure Ministries, we love, with a capital L, we love supporting our leaders. We've got Facilitator's Guide, we have our Lead Well for Life Change community, and our Nurture Workshop. So to find out more about those resources, go to www.nourishbiblestudyseries.com. And that's also the place where you can go order your study or even just to check out more about one of our most popular resources, and that is the Nourish Bible Study series. Thanks again for listening, and everybody, bye-bye.